Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 453. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And it's blisteringly cold.
Oh my God, it's so cold.
It's cold.
I like seasons and I actually enjoy the cold.
Yeah. And we've been on borrowed time for a long time.
Oh yeah, it's been in the 40s. But this is like we're in late January. Bitch slap cold.
Yeah. It's like walk down the street and your nose hairs are like.
That's what I said. I walked home from a dinner just earlier this evening.
Yep.
I was having dinner down the street and the hair in my nose was frozen when I got home. Of course, I really shouldn't complain because I'm about to go to the Caribbean.
Yes,
for
this
four
is
months.
Our last, at least face-to-face podcast with you for a while. Tell everybody where you're going this second city tour.
The second city tour will be Cozumel, Costa Maya, Belize, and Honduras.
Wow. Have you been to all those places before? Because you did some of this tour
a couple years ago. The two places in Mexico. And then we go on a long cruise in which I'll get to go to Jamaica and St. Martin and Aruba and Curacao.
Mm-hmm. And then, are you going to sing Aruba, Jamaica?
You're the third person who's asked me that. Uh-huh. Do you know that is my least favorite song in the history of recorded music?
Wow.
Yeah. That.
Why are you going to hate John Stamos? What's going on?
That and We Built This City on Rock and Roll are my two least favorite songs in the history of recorded music. They make me mad.
Jefferson Starship.
I can't tell you why. They make me mad. But so we reposition after that longer cruise, and then we do I just found this out that we do New York City to Bermuda for like 3 weeks. So I get to be in New York City once a week.
Oh, that's fun.
I know.
How many days are you in New York City?
Just the day that we pick up new passengers, but it's a pretty full day. It's like a long day, like
nice.
8 in the morning to like 5 in the afternoon.
Oh, fun.
And then we go to Bermuda and we sit there for 3 days and then come back. But that's only 3 weeks.
So I must say, Virginia and Leo Matheny, my parents, that birthed this podcast wonder that you all listen to every week, said, so Mitchell's getting ready to leave. Is he very worried about the Italian ship sinking and the cruise ship and blah, 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 blah?
Can I tell you the only thing I'm really worried about?
I said, he's a merchant marine.
I'm a merchant goddamn marine.
I said, he would be saving those people. I don't even know the whole story, really.
Well, the captain, I've been underground. Captain was clearly a tool. I mean, it's definitely human error. It was the captain.
Yeah, he fell into the lifeboat or something.
Yeah, that's what he said. He didn't. He abandoned ship. Which is really a huge offense. I'm not worried about it because it was a totally human error. He decided to go close to the coast of people so that the crew could wave to their friends on shore. It's just so many ways wrong. The only thing that concerns me is that the number of hours that we'll have to do safety training will increase.
Yep.
Out of paranoia about it.
Yep.
But I'm hoping that doesn't apply to me since I just did all those crazy.
Yep.
I did the whole crazy thing. And
on the boat, you never go into red alert or orange alert or yellow alert or anything.
I never have.
I don't know. You know the airports and stuff.
There's all these codes. This code Alpha, code Bravo. that mean different things. You know, there's a fire, there's somebody overboard, there's a mm-hmm. mechanical issue, there's a chemical leak, there's something like that. But
the things you know.
Yeah, I know.
Because you're doing improv comedy.
I know. Isn't that crazy? The places I've gotten to go.
Well.
How amazing. I think about, I mean.
You had never been anywhere when you did that first Mediterranean tour.
I mean, I've been
tour,
to some place. I'd been to Hawaii, you know, on my own. And I'd been to, like, St. John. And I'd been to some places. But, like, the amount of travel that I've gotten to do. And I think, you know, and I don't, please, listeners, don't think I'm being pretentious. It's actually me feeling like a poor kid from Cranston, Rhode Island, feeling really grateful. I think. I've gotten to take all these great adventures, and only because somebody somewhere thinks I'm funny.
Yeah.
And so some of the universe mm-hmm. provided me with this weird ability to mm-hmm. be able to tell a joke on stage. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I get to go to all these cool places. Like, what a weird and beautiful gift that is. I'm just feeling grateful.
Entertaining people. Well, and you're going to be in lovely weather until you come back in June?
When are
you
I come back first week of June.
First week of June. So you'll be back for Pride, and when the weather starts heating up
so
here.
Yes, so excited about it.
You'll just tug the tugboat of sunshine and good warmth.
Yeah, I'm bringing it back.
Bring it back. Well, I have to say, I've been under a rock, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, but I have been coming home, you know, kind of wired late at night and trying to catch up on television. And I don't think you watch it, but the Downton Abbey has started up again on Masterpiece
Why
Classic.
Am I the only person who's not watching this?
And the only homosexual. I really don't
understand
because
I don't have a friggin' DVR. Yep. So if I'm not home to watch it, yep. then repeat it like other
But you
cable
can watch. You could watch it on the PBS website.
I'm going to get it on DVD while I'm
it's
on the ship.
So good. Anyhow, so it started back up. And so that's lovely. And then I also got to catch, I love public television.
I mean,
how brilliant is public television? But Idina Menzel from Wicked and Rent did a concert. And, you know, just so amazing because she's going to be coming here to Ravinia this summer.
I heard that.
And playing with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And but she was on tour and just singing, you know, great Streisand songs and American Songbook and, of course, songs from Wicked and Jonathan Larson. And, you know, just kind of doing her thing. Her husband, her hot husband, Taye Diggs.
Does he
black man that I would love to
show. Oh, my God, he's so beautiful. Did he make an appearance?
He does. He does a little duet with her. And
I mean, for realsies.
And for realsies.
They're so beautiful.
So beautiful. But she's cute, you know. She's in a ball gown and she's barefoot and she's walking around and my favorite moment, because we often talk about the Glee, was she says, you know, what's been really amazing is I've got this new job on this show called Glee. And then the orchestra starts playing the Glee version of Poker Face. And she starts singing it. And then she goes, you know what? I need to pause right here. I didn't really set this thing up. And she goes, you know, I just had a baby and I was feeling really fat and like nobody was going to hire me again. And then they called me and asked me if I wanted to come play the mother of one of the lead characters who happens to be a 24-year-old, you know, girl, woman. And they said, you know, you're going to sing Lady Gaga's Poker Face. And she goes, to your daughter. And she goes, I just want you to listen to some of the words of this song. And she just, it's funny because it's got the whole symphony playing that, but she's totally going,
that's
like,
so funny.
How in the world did this have anything to do with a mother and daughter sitting at a piano singing? And she did it in a way that was not like slamming the show,
right.
But she was just so real and so funny and talked about, you know, being from Long Island and loving Barbara Streisand and singing in wedding bands and how everybody wanted Whitney Houston's, is it Saving All My Love for You? Yeah. Sung at their wedding. And
uh-huh.
She goes, it's a song about infidelity.
Right, exactly.
You know, a few stolen moments is all we can share.
I know.
You've got your family and they need you there. You know.
Well, why do you want me to sing at your wedding?
She's like, I'm singing this at, like, you know, weddings. And
I once saw somebody sing Stevie Nicks' Landslide at their
uh-huh.
wedding.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, why would you want that sung at your wedding? It's sort of a sad song. It's a reflective sort of like looking
mm-hmm.
back on your
mm-hmm.
life and some of your mistakes. And
mm-hmm.
it's a weird song to have sung. Yeah, it's a pretty tune, but
right.
I don't think you've been paying attention.
Yeah, I just thought she was just so real and so funny. So I'm sure they'll re-air it and obviously
speaking
you can
of Glee news.
Yes, what is it?
Did you see they announced who's Rachel's gay dads?
No.
They just, you know, because they talk about the fact that she was raised by two gay dads
yep.
after she was given up for
yep.
adoption.
I thought they were in, like, the first episode
nope.
or two.
Nope, they've just been mentioned. So they just cast them, and there was just a picture online of her with them. Her dads will be played by Brian Stokes Mitchell and Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum. That's brilliant.
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 How friggin' funny. Like, clearly he's the one with the genetics, right? Like, he's the one who, like, donated the sperm.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, I thought this past week, and if you follow me on Facebook, you know that I thought this past week was really freaking funny. I thought NeNe saying,
oh my God, so
that
funny.
I got my 40, I got my, my
40, my 40 acres in a pool.
40 acres in a pool. And, I mean, I loved the first time ever I saw your face. I thought that montage
beautiful.
Was
I
so
thought
there
was so much beautiful.
Beautiful.
What was that song, Without You, I think it was called, that Lea Michele sang? I thought that was gorgeous. I
yeah,
thought
that's
that beautiful
a great
scene
song.
Where Mr. Shu tells Finn's mom and Bert Hummel that Finn wants to enlist in the army. And then they have that beautiful scene where she tells him what really happened with his father.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful.
The whole episode was just, it had the right elements
also,
of like gravitas.
Two
and
words.
Also,
Santana.
Well.
I mean, just.
I have two words. Helen Mirren.
Right, I know that's
you
brilliant.
Do understand that Helen Mirren was the voice. I was like, how many people are actually going to know that's Helen Mirren? I don't think many will. And I.
Of course I
of
did.
Of course did. From the first nanosecond. And was like, I love her ever so much more.
I know,
that
brilliant.
She is the voice of Becky.
Also, that was actually so beautiful that. That they sort of gave Becky that storyline. I actually thought the show was so great. I know people sort of
really,
go back and forth in that show, but
really
I
well
always
done that
enjoy
episode.
It.
Really, really good. Well, we're going to tell you what's going on in GLBT news and international news and what's going on in entertainment. And then Mitchell Fain and I'll be back for our last face-to-face for a little while.
Yeah, a little while.
A little while.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The GOP presidential field shrank again as Texas Governor Rick Perry withdrew from the race. Perry threw his support behind Newt Gingrich. In the past few weeks, Michelle Bachmann and John Huntsman have also left the race.
The introduction of SB 6239, an act that would provide equal protection for all families in Washington state, may create equality in civil marriage and change the domestic partnership laws while protecting religious freedom. The bill needs 25 votes in the state Senate for passage and was introduced with 23 sponsors. Six states and the District of Columbia recognize same-sex marriage.
Christopher Godfrey, Iowa's only openly gay workers' compensation commissioner, has sued Governor Terry Branstad for $1 million, claiming Branstad asked him to resign and cut Godfrey's salary after he refused. Godfrey alleges defamation, harassment, sexual discrimination, and extortion against the state.
San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee recently added Planning Commission President Christina Olague to the city's Board of Supervisors. Olague will represent the District 5 neighborhoods of Haight-Ashbury, the Panhandle, Lower Haight, and parts of the Hayes Valley and Inner Sunset in Japantown. The bisexual Olague first made her mark as an organizer with the Mission Anti-Displacement Coalition.
Illinois liberal arts school Elmhurst College has reported that fewer prospective students than expected identified themselves as LGBT. The school became the first in the country to ask students if they consider themselves to be a part of the LGBT community when it added an optional question in its application last year. Just under 5% of applicants identified themselves as LGBT.
In Minnesota, some religious conservative parents at the Anoka Hennepin School District want officials to purge any mention of homosexuality. They also want administrators to add info about so-called ex-gay therapies and GRID, an archaic term for AIDS that was phased out in the mid-80s. Over the last 2 years, 9 students in the district have committed suicide.
In the wake of Portland, Oregon's LGBT newspaper just outfolding, Melanie Davis, the publisher-owner of El Hispanic News, announced she is starting a new monthly LGBT publication in that city on February 16th. The first edition of PQ Monthly will coincide with a celebration at Portland's Jupiter Hotel.
Following repeated reports of sexual abuse in the immigration detention system, Congressman Mike Quigley, who's a Democrat, from Illinois, of course, and Jared Polis, Democrat from Colorado, requested that the Government Accountability Office investigate and offer possible remedies to improve conditions in Immigration Customs Enforcement facilities and those with which they contract.
Bernice King, a daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., known for her anti-gay rhetoric, included LGBT individuals at an Atlanta rally on MLK Day. Bernice said that everyone is needed to create unity, and it didn't matter if they were black or white, or heterosexual or homosexual, or gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. LGBT people at the event were surprised, but pleased she mentioned them.
Another gay California student has taken his life. 18-year-old Jeffrey Fair hanged himself January 1st at the front entrance of the family's home in Granite Bay. His parents believe that bullying led their openly gay son, a student at Sierra College, to commit suicide.
In South Carolina, six gay and lesbian couples applied for marriage licenses January 17th and 18th to protest the state's ban on marriage equality. The couples arrived at the Greenville County Courthouse knowing they would be denied.
Washington State Senator Jim Castama became the first person in the legislative body to say he will vote for legal recognition of same-sex marriages. Supporters need 25 votes in the Senate and 50 in the House. At least 49 Democrats and 2 Republicans have committed to voting for it. And several Northwest-based businesses, Microsoft, Vulcan, and Nike, have also endorsed same-sex marriage.
Following the footsteps of Maryland and most recently Indiana, South Carolina will offer pro-LGBT equality license plates. South Carolina's plates cost $25, with half of the money going to South Carolina Equality Foundation.
In Los Angeles, porn stars will be legally required to wear condoms during film shoots after the city council voted 9-1 to mandate their use. Producers had complained that the sight of a condom in a sex scene turned off consumers. However, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation had qualified a voter initiative that would have asked voters in June to mandate condoms. The city would have had to spend more than $4 million to hold the election.
Devereaux, Arizona became the first adoption agency in Arizona to earn the All Children, All Families Seal of Recognition from HRC. The Tucson Adoption Agency meets the required criteria for fully inclusive policies and practices in working with the LGBT community.
And in world news, in Turkey, the nation's first so-called gay honor killing has launched a new film that aims to shed light on hate crimes based on gender, sexual identity, religion, or ethnicity. One character in the movie, Zene Dancer, is based on the story of Ahmet Yildiz, an out-gay Istanbul student who was shot and killed by his father. The father remains a fugitive.
In Saudi Arabia, a man was reportedly arrested for using Facebook to date other men. The unnamed 30-year-old was arrested in late December by religious police and faces corporal punishment, fines, and possibly death. Religious leaders will select the punishment.
At the Australian Open tennis tournament, player Laura Robson wore a rainbow ribbon in her hair to support gay rights activists. Robson, a 17-year-old Brit who was born in Australia, said she was aware of the anti-gay comments legendary Australian tennis champion Margaret Court had made recently.
In Cuba, gay rights activist Mariela Castro said that legislators will consider same-sex civil unions this year. Castro, the daughter of President Raul Castro, said a preliminary proposal to modify the family code is on the legislative schedule.
The Orthodox Jewish community of Amsterdam suspended U.S.-born Chief Rabbi Aryeh Ralbag for co-signing a declaration that said homosexuality was a treatable inclination. The document, Declaration on the Torah Approach to Homosexuality, called on authority figures to guide same-sex strugglers toward a path of healing and overcoming their inclinations.
In Canada, Newfoundland and Labrador's education department will announce plans to help schools across the province create safe environments for gay students. There will be new teacher resources in grades 7 to 12 entitled My Gay Straight Alliance to provide support for administrators, teachers, and students who wish to establish gay straight alliances in schools.
In entertainment news, when Bravo launches the reality TV show Million Dollar Listing New York, it will feature a former gay porn star. Frederick Eklund, whose porn name is Tag Erickson, will be the newest real estate broker on the series. As a managing director of Core Group Marketing, Eklund, a member of a prominent Swedish family with ties to Prime Minister and late film director Ingmar Bergman, has a portfolio worth more than $58 million.
ABC has canceled the controversial comedy Work It after just 2 episodes. The Tuesday night comedy focused on 2 men who dressed as women to get jobs at a company.
You can have Joan Rivers' New York City penthouse for a cool $29.5 million. The listing for the unit describes how the original architectural detail was painstakingly restored by museum-trained artisans. The penthouse is 5,190 square feet and features a terrace, library, and expansive view of Central Park.
Modern Family's Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Glee stars Jane Lynch and Matthew Morrison are among those joining George Clooney in the March 3rd reading of Dustin Lance Black's docudrama 8. Clooney will play David Boies, one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs in Perry versus Schwarzenegger case, which sought to overturn Prop 8. Rob Reiner will direct.
Chef Paula Deen has confirmed that she does have type 2 diabetes. D Dean, who's 64, found out 3 years ago during a routine physical, she will be a paid spokeswoman for drug company Novo Nordisk.
Will and Grace star Sean Hayes will soon be on another NBC show, Parks and Recreation. Hayes' former Will and Grace co-star Megan Mullally has a recurring role as well on the show.
Lady Gaga will officially launch the Born This Way Foundation February 29th at Harvard University's Sanders Theater. The foundation has partnered with the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the California Endowment, and the Berkman Center at Harvard to explore the best ways to reach youth and create a culture of kindness, bravery, acceptance, and empowerment.
And Etta James, the iconic singer of such hits as At Last, has died at 73 from complications from leukemia. She also suffered from dementia and hepatitis C. James overcame a heroin addiction, but won 6 Grammys and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and this is your Night at the Movies Minute. Juno Temple, the young British spitfire with the angelic face and sassy manner, certainly made her mark in queer cinema last year. The pint-sized actress was funny and audacious as a college-age temptress whose voracious sexual appetite was more than matched by her new best friend, the bisexual Smith, played by Thomas Dekker, in queer auteur Greg Araki's black comedy mystery Kaboom. And she followed that with a similar role in Dirty Girl, outrider director Abe Sylvia's debut feature. The latter, a charming coming-of-age rogue comedy in which Temple plays the title role Skip Chicago during his theatrical run, and has just been released on DVD. It's a lovely divertissement, albeit one with a familiar and at times rather thin trajectory. Two high school misfits in Oklahoma dreaming their pop culture dreams, Temple as Danielle and newcomer Jeremy Dozier as Clark, the overweight, shy, gay nerd, hit the road when their mutual home lives become too much to bear. Danielle and Clark leave behind her trampy mother, played by Mila Jovovich, his homophobic parents, Dwight Yoakam and Mary Steenburgen, and bond as they head toward California and a hoped-for reunion with Danielle's long-lost father, played by Tim McGraw. This being 1987, the soundtrack is filled to the brim with a raft of new wave hits, thanks to a nice music budget, no doubt arranged by savvy queer producer Christine Vachon. Clark also gets to fulfill his fantasy during a scene reminiscent of Thelma and Louise when the duo picked up a Hobbs & Pistol drifter, played by Nicholas D'Agostino. Turns out to be a sexy stripper. Another fantasy of Clark's involves Melissa Manchester, who makes a cameo and penned a lovely new ballad with lyrics by Steenburgen for the movie, and an emotionally climactic performance of Don't Cry Out Loud. Shot in hot candy colors, filled with plenty of telling details and finely edged performances, Sylvia's Dirty Girl is a welcome addition to the queer cinema genre. And the DVD includes a lot of fun bonus material as well. Check it out. This has been Richard Knight Jr., and that has been your Night at the Movies Minute.
Hey, this is Levi Kreis, and you are on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 23rd, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. When Claudia left Ian and her old life in adult entertainment, she thought she had found a new start. But when Ian shows up on her doorstep weeks before her wedding to Trick, the local youth minister and man of God, everything is thrown into turmoil. Welcome to Hesperia, where everyone has something to hide. Hesperia is playing at Writers Theater now. Visit writerstheater.org for more.
The best ABBA tribute show in the world, says Rolling Stone, with original backing musicians from ABBA. The music of ABBA is the most authentic ABBA show around. Dancing Queen, Mamma Mia, Take a Chance on Me, Waterloo, Fernando, relive all the hits. So accurately delivered that it's hard to believe it's not the real ABBA on stage. Friday, February 4th at the North Shore Center in Skokie. For tickets, visit northshorecenter.org.
Don't miss The Caretaker, Harold Pinter's classic comedy of menace, playing at Writers Theater through March 24th. Director Ron O.J. Parson was named one of the directors of the year by WBEZ for his work on the production, which has been called riveting and unforgettable by audiences. For more information or tickets, visit writerstheater.org. The Caretaker is a play that will have you talking for hours after you leave the theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
I grew up with sleepy on my eyes. Yeah, I grew up trying to learn how not to cry. Cause I'm terrified and I'm ruined by this mess. Cause I need.
So Mitchell, I've been underground. I've been working on this little show, this little skit, my own little skit. It's not mine. But I am getting ready to open this week a show called Enron about, wait for it, Enron.
Crazy.
That's being done at Timeline Theater in Lakeview in Boys Town. And it's such an interesting world. You know, I've been cast in this show for many, many, many months. So it has allowed me to do a lot of research and study a lot about economics and, you know, what really was happening from 1992 to 2002. I mean, really, it's a 10-year story. It's a decade. And how much stuff happened in that decade? Like just the sensational news stories from OJ to... You know, Friends was, of course, dominating the airwaves, and Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky.
And prosperity.
And prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. And you know, the story of this company in Houston, Texas, that was just seen as this innovative place where very highly intelligent people worked, and their stock was going through the roof. And then it all came crumbling down literally right after September 11th. Like the towers are almost a metaphor for how quick it fell and how towering it was. And so I'm doing this play, and it's really, it's very funny. It's one of those plays where, you know, Timeline prides themselves in doing theater that's about history.
Right.
And it's so interesting to be doing something that I realize that much of the audience, if they range in age from 25 to 55, this was a real significant decade in all of those people's lives.
Right. It's modern history.
Yeah, it's modern history. It's so close that the clothing is just a bit off. My hair is definitely a couple of inches off.
You've been obsessed with your hair.
This hair has got so much height, it's crazy. Scott Ferguson, who directed our Xena shows, came last night to one of our previews, and he was like, girl, the hair, the heels, the hair, because I'm in like 4.5-inch heels. I mean, they are the tallest shoes I've ever worn in my life. And then I have this hair, and I change clothes every time I exit.
Is there a new genre of lesbian, as opposed to lipstick lesbians? Is it like stiletto lesbians?
Oh, I don't know, but I could start one.
Don't you think?
My character's not a lesbian, but...
No, but you are, and you're wearing heels.
I am.
We could start a whole new life.
Ooh, that's kinky.
Right?
I like it.
I like it, too.
If I was on the market, in which I am, I guess, then I can, you know...
Yeah, work it out with the legs.
I can work it out. Well, one of the guys in the cast asked me, he said, You're single right now, aren't you? And I was like, I actually am single. And he goes, you know what? You are gonna get a lot of offers from this show.
That's really funny.
Because I'm all legs and high heels and
how many people are in the cast?
Big hair. It's 13. It's a four.
That's a big ass cast.
Big cast for a 95 seat theater. That's not a musical. It is. There are four characters that are the main characters, and they are Jeff Skilling, who was the president, who is still serving time for the corporate crimes. Jeff Skilling, whose brother is Tom Skilling, our weatherman here.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Hey, Tom Skilling.
Tom Skilling is his baby brother. I wonder if he'll come see the show. And then Ken Lay, uh-huh. who everybody knows because he was cronies with the Bushes. So all of the, you know, we have a whole scene about the Gore-Bush election night and wow. the whole thing. Very pivotal moment in the play and in the story of Enron. But Ken Lay, who died before he had to start serving any time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dead. Andy Fastow, who was the became the chief financial officer, young guy, you know, worth tons and tons of money, came up with the idea of how they were going to hide the fact that they were losing money and not making any money. He served time and was just released in December of this wow. past year.
Tell me this. The show, is it like a documentary style?
No, it really just tells the story through these four characters, because mine is the fourth. My character is the only one who's not the real name of the real woman who she's based after, because she wasn't indicted and she wasn't tried. And so I think the playwright, she just didn't want to possibly say she was saying right, this was her story. So I have a fictitious name, but I am a particular woman that was named Rebecca Mark, and she was Ken Lay's protege for many, many years, and she went toe-to-toe with Jeff Skilling, and eventually Ken Lay gave the presidency to Jeff Skilling after she'd been with the company for 15 years. Yeah. So they both were Harvard MBAs.
Is that a little sexism?
You know, who knows?
Or I mean, cronyism?
You can definitely read books and think that Ken Lay... You know, Rebecca Mark, or my character Claudia, you know, was on Forbes' most 50 most powerful women in the world for 2 years in a row in the mid to late 90s. I mean, she was the face of Enron before Jeff Skilling came around, because she was an international star with energy companies that helping Enron take their energy efforts globally. You know, the story is really like following these four people. The other nine actors play tons of different parts. I mean, just they are doing so much work, and there's so much theatricality to the play. And, you know, I'm not a fan of economics. Like, I don't understand it, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand it.
You do not. This play is so theatrical. It allows us just to understand the story, understand the time, understand the corruption,
mm-hmm.
The blind greed and ambition.
Do we get a sense of like what happened in the legislative way that allowed this kind of?
Well, the biggest thing that happened, I mean, one of the biggest turning points was Bush becoming president, because he deregulated electricity.
Yeah, deregulation, that's what I was thinking.
And so the big moment of deregulating California, which, if people remember, this is why we have Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor of California, because. Their previous governor was seen as the guy who failed California around the blackouts. And it was really because electricity had been deregulated and Enron was buying up a ton of it and trying to sell it to the state of California at a higher price.
Ugh.
And so, what was his name? Gray Davis. You know, so Ken Lay was essentially, based on our play and in reality, calling him and saying, hey, we've got, we've got electricity. Do you want it? This is what we're charging you for it. And he wouldn't do it. So there were these blackouts. Many people died in car wrecks and heat and just all kinds of stuff. And the traders were just trading electricity and making the prices go,
crazy.
You know, through
Who's
the roof.
Ken Lay?
Terry Hamilton, who is a fantastic
was
actor.
Just, I asked because I did the New City mm-hmm. magazine just lists that like 50 sort of movers and shakers mm-hmm. in Chicago theater, and he's one of those people, so that's a good selling point for your
he
show.
He has a line, yeah, we
Along
do.
Along with my friend Kate and her husband Tim.
Yeah.
And my friend Mick.
Yeah.
And Doug Peck.
Yeah, so many great artists. Yeah, we were laughing because he has a line which, sorry Terry if you hear this, but he always stumbles over this line where he has to say something like, you know, you're the 14th most powerful woman, you settled for the most 14th most powerful woman in the world. And he always wants to say a different number or something like that, you know. And so tonight we were doing something and we were just running a little section. And I said, you settled for 48th most powerful or most innovative artist, you know,
in Chicago right.
or something. So he was laughing. But yeah, Terry Hamilton's great. He played Nixon in Frost Nixon. Last year was nominated for a Jeff for that. He's just done so many great roles. And Sean Fortunato is Andy Fastow.
Oh,
and then Brett Twomey, who I did not know but has done... did a play called, well, his big thing was he just finished doing the national tour for over a year and on Broadway of Rock of Ages. And he did, he's character actor, and he did, he's done Christmas Carol at Goodman, and he's worked a lot with Montana Shakespeare. And, so he's just fantastic because he never leaves the stage practically for a 2-hour play. I mean, it's really told through him.
When do you officially open? I know you're in previews.
We officially open this. Well, we have a couple of openings because the house is smallish. So we open this Friday and Saturday. And
so wait, tomorrow?
No.
No, where are we?
Yeah. This coming Friday and Saturday.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, so we're in previews and then we'll open the 27th and 28th and then we run through April 15th. So we're running a really long time, and I hope people, if you're listening, you can come and see it because they sell out. We're already sold out our first 2 weeks. We have no more tickets to previews.
Wowee!
And
that's great. Well, it's such a fascinating topic.
Yeah, and Rachel Rockwell's the director, which I love. It's such a machismo world.
Yeah,
it's just so male. There's not that many women even in the cast.
It's like Catherine Bigelow doing a war movie.
It's exactly right, and I love Rachel. Is just did The Sound of Music for Drury Lane. That was just supposed to be.
I don't know Rachel, but I'm in love with her mom.
Oh yes,
she's a mom who's a fabulous actress.
Yes,
who I worked with for quite some time.
Uh huh.
For a couple of years, we did a play together, and she's a magical, magical lady.
Yeah.
Glory is her
name.
Well,
Rachel's doing an amazing job. She's just so fun, and it's. I mean, I know you feel this, and you're getting to know your castmates you're going on a boat with, but...
Yeah, because we live together for 4 months.
You all live together. We're going to feel like we live together for 4 months, but we're not going to be. But it is, I think, one of the hardest working... There is not a negative Nelly in the bunch.
Wow.
And it's a technically very difficult show. There's lots of video. There's lots of light and sound stuff. Just the costumes alone and wigs. I mean, there's just a lot in this show. And
please tell me you wear a wig.
I don't.
Use your own hair.
No, I'm doing my hair.
Because you got that head of hair.
I got that head of hair. But it's just one of the most hardworking, professional, smart, earnest group I've ever worked with. And at the same time, they cannot take themselves seriously. They can have fun, they can play, and it's the most lovely balance. It's just
great.
And we've just felt that, you know, we've been in rehearsals now since the first couple of days of December. So
I always think, you know, when it's a large cast too, it can be so difficult, especially in a small theater when there isn't necessarily that much space backstage either.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you really are like on top of each other, and it takes you know, for listeners who want theater people, imagine working with the people you work with and then cramming yourselves into some tiny space where you're changing your clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Preparing yourself emotionally.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's a whole other sort of, like, it's a whole other reality for performers, especially when you're working in a smaller sized theater.
Right.
That's a lot of personalities in a small space.
I mean, I know, and that's why I'm saying I can tell
miracle.
That
yeah.
It's rare to have a company
absolutely.
Like this company. And
it's the little gifts of doing what we
yeah.
do.
Yeah, and we range in age from like 23, like this.
Which is you.
Yes, thank you. No, I literally, this kid, I have to call him a kid now because when he told me his age, everybody in the cast was doing that thing. I don't know if any of you listening have done this, but it's like, what song was the number one song the week you were born? Have you had that thing?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what mine was. I knew and then I probably forgot.
Mine's Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Diana Ross.
Everybody else
I have
got a good
great one. I got a good
the
one.
The Diana Ross version?
Yeah.
I did not, I mean, mine was okay. Oh, mine was pretty good, but it wasn't anything that resonated with me, but it's a cool song. It's 96 Tears.
Oh.
1960s.
Yeah.
That sort of old classic rock song, because I was born in 66.
Yeah. Well, we were all doing it, and I said, you know, my birthday was September 24th, and sweet Chris, who's just a cutie patootie, and, you know, I mean, I knew they were younger guys, but I wasn't thinking like younger guys, and because they all feel like peers, you know, it's not
of
like
course,
there's children in the
together,
show,
right.
And right, and, and he goes, oh, my birthday's September 26th. And I was like, well, what year? And he says, 1988. And I went, oh, my God. His song was Don't Worry, Be Happy. I mean, I was in freaking college.
It's
what?
Like Megan's song was Truly by Lionel Richie.
Well, that's better than Don't Worry, Be Happy.
I was in college.
No, I wasn't in college. Was I? No, I wasn't in college.
No.
Truly was like one of my early Dayton Guy songs. Like, I was going out with boys.
Yeah, I think I was a freshman in college.
Oh, I don't think you could have been.
Sure. Well,
maybe I was like in junior 83, high.
84?
Yeah, I was in junior high, going into high school, junior high.
Doesn't it make you feel crazy?
Oh, it was so funny. I really looked at him and I went, Chris, I could be your freaking mother. I mean, I was sexually active. I could really be it. I don't mean like, oh, I could have had been a 14-year-old,
oh, yeah,
you know, love child or some weird thing. Like, I was sexually active. You could be my son.
Happens to me all the time because of the kind of shows that I do, right, where I'm almost always the oldest person, you know, whether it's Circus or Second City. I'm so often...
I'm so never
old enough to be people's father.
No, this was, and we have older people in the cast, a couple of older people in the cast. And they were like, oh, don't say that. And I said, no, you just need to let me have this moment because this is the first time I'm having this moment. Like the first real time that's not a child that I'm like, oh my God, like you are a peer. And I mean, we could almost weirdly be playing opposite one another in a different kind of script. And
that's so funny.
And I could have birthed you. It was freaky.
That's another one of the little gifts of the profession that we do, is that, you know, to fill out the world of a play, often there has to be someone who's 17, somebody who's 75, somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and for the verisimilitude of it, you end up working with somebody and becoming friends with someone from a completely different generation.
Yeah.
And yet you're asked to do the same work with the same integrity and the same level of emotionality. And I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I feel like it educates me.
Yep. A point of gay interest for those of you who saw The Homosexuals, the lovely British Mark, a.k.a. Ben Sprunger, is in the ensemble.
That's right.
So Ben and I are representing the G and the L.
Oh, handsome, talented.
And he's adorable and he's got some really scene-stealing moments.
He's marvelous.
Yeah. He's lovely. So anyhow, if you guys get to go to the show, or if you want to come to town and see the show, if you live close enough to drive in, timelinetheater.com is the website. And their phone number is 773-281-TIME. 281-TIME. And they're right in Lakeview. So it's...
And you have till April.
You have till mid-April.
Long time. Which is great.
Long, long time. So I just want to say this before you leave. You're going to miss kind of the big award season, even though you caught the Golden Globes.
I know, so sad.
Do you think this is going to be a big Oscars year? I mean, are there categories or actors or films that you're like, oh, I want that to get its due, or something you're excited about?
I'm a huge fan of... I would like very much for the artist... to win Best Picture.
Did you finally see it?
I saw it on Christmas.
Oh, you saw it before me. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Loved it. I want the artist to win for Best Picture because I just think it's magic.
It is magic, but isn't
my
it?
My second favorite is also, ironically, another movie that's a love letter to films, which is Hugo.
Oh, I have not seen that.
I want Scorsese to win Best Director for Hugo.
Oh.
It's...
Has he won? Did he win just for won. Gangs of New York?
He won for...
He won for something very late in his career. He'd never won before.
Yeah, it was recent, wasn't it, for The Departed?
Oh, maybe it was The Departed.
Hugo is a... Have you seen it?
Nope.
I think it's a masterpiece.
I want to go see some matinees as soon as I get the show open.
And you have to see it on the big screen, and you got to see it in 3D. It's like... Even if you don't like 3D, I'm not a fan of 3D. I'm often bored. I'm annoyed that I have these stupid glasses on.
Yep.
It's just a little miracle. The opening sequence alone, which is for film nerds out there, know what I'm talking about. Any good film, a filmmaker tells you, like a great essay, the beginning of a film is a presentation of a thesis statement.
Right.
This is the film you're going to see.
Yep.
These are some of the themes and some of the images, and this is why I'm the person to tell the story.
Yep.
That's what a director does.
Yep.
And Scorsese sets up in like a 3.5-minute opening sequence just a masterpiece of a directorial thesis statement that you then sort of sit back and go, yes, please, I'd like to see the story told by you, sir.
Yep.
It's so marvelous. So I'd like to see him win Best Director. I'm hoping that Meryl finally gets another Oscar, which she deserves, although I've heard the movie isn't so great, so that might work against her.
I don't know. I'm really rooting for Viola Davis.
It might be Michelle Williams' year.
Yeah.
I think she might sneak in.
Hmm.
I know, but we disagree about this because I didn't like that.
I just think Viola Davis is brilliant
marvelous,
in that film. And I
marvelous.
Think she's,
Meryl Streep thinks she is too.
Yeah,
Meryl Streep's probably going to vote for Viola Davis.
Yeah, I think
and
it's
I'd
a
love
career
to see,
turning.
I'd love to see Michael Fassbender
I watched him in an interview with Charlie Rose, and I found him very fascinating.
Yeah, he's a fascinating
actor.
For
Shame.
I think he's, and I think he's brilliant in it.
Which was a film that was marketed to the GLBT community.
Well, it's a very dark film. I think it's marketed because he has a very large penis, and we get to see it in the movie, which always bums me out that we get marketed films just because guys show their dicks. But having said that,
sexuality.
It is about sexuality, and there is, you know. One scene,
don't hate him for his very large penis.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
Don't hate the marketers for wanting you to see his very large penis.
Because
I'm sure you really want him to get that.
Yeah, but that's
award
why I go to ohmygodblog.com because they'll run the pictures of his penis. I don't have to go to the movie.
There you go.
But the movie is very good. It's bleak, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, having said that about The Artist and Hugo, another one of my favorite movies of the year is The Descendants with George Clooney, who also probably gives the best performance of his career.
Mm.
If you haven't seen it, it's a quiet little marvel of tiny human moments. It's a brilliant movie, and I loved it.
I have to go see films, and I have to say that the first film I'm going to go see this week is the Pina Bausch.
Is that coming to Chicago this weekend?
It's coming to Chicago.
I will not see a movie for 4 months.
And it is
not
going to be 3D. And I hear that the use of 3D is great. So Richard Knight Jr. will tell us. But Pina is, I'm so excited about.
There's a bunch of interesting movies coming up. There's a documentary about Carol Channing that's supposed to be mind-blowingly good.
Fun.
That people are like raving about.
After the Joan Rivers one.
Yeah. And so that looks really amazing. I'm really excited. I did see, just speaking of movies for a second, and people can argue with me all they want. Joyful Noise is the feel-good movie of the year.
Well, how can you hate The Queen and Dolly? I mean,
sorry.
Well,
there's a couple of reasons. The script is nigh on to terrible. The movie has the weirdest politics. Like, it's supposed to be this sort of, like, uber-religious movie, but there's some weird-ass shit in it that, like, just is bad, sloppy screenwriting. There's this weird message that's sort of like Grease or Princess Diaries, where it's like, if you tart up, you know, then you'll get your man, sort of weird. There's all sorts of weird stuff. There's Dolly's facial surgery, which is really bizarre, which they actually mentioned. They call it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's face it, she looks weird. But then she opens up her mouth to sing.
Brilliant.
I haven't had that much fun in a movie, and I can't tell you how long.
Is it like a burlesque moment for you?
Burlesque was, no, because burlesque didn't bring me joy. Burlesque just brought me sort of cynical glee in how bad it was. Joyful Noise literally as
brought you joy.
As bad, and I can say that it's pretty like a B-minus movie. I smiled for the rest of the day.
Okay.
I'm not kidding, like smiled for the rest of the day.
All right.
I also went with Megan and Rob and Doug, and we had so much fun that I'm surprised we didn't get kicked out of the theater.
Did you have the munchies?
We did not have the munchies, no. Not that kind of fun. Although we did eat a lot of popcorn. Not that kind of fun. It was more that there was just, it's you know that you're not going to see a film. You're going to see a popcorn movie.
Yeah.
And so if you give into it, it is a joyful noise, y'all.
Joyful noise,
I loved it.
Y'all.
Well, loved it.
Mitchell Fain's review as he is now stepping out and stepping on a cruise ship.
I am.
We will
I'm going
miss
away.
You, and hopefully we'll be able to record Skype some show.
Yeah, like
here
on,
in the
like
next couple weeks
in
and
Tampa
figure
or
out what or a
or
day
sitting
in
Cozumel or
in we'll find a day and we'll get the 411 on some tropical paradise.
I love
or
it.
Or the big Manhattan.
Maybe
New
Manhattan.
City.
Yeah.
All right. Love you. Be very
I love
safe.
You too.
Don't sink.
No, we're not going to sing. We're not going to sing. Let me tell you something. If one more jackass sends me a picture of that, like, it's not funny to send a picture of a sinking cruise ship to someone who's going to spend 4 months on a cruise ship. That was human error. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Stop sending me that picture.
I'm not. I didn't.
Not you. No, not you.
I didn't send it to you. Di, stop sending him that picture.
Di, no, Di did not do it. She would not be that insensitive.
We'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.